Welcome to the Fabric Podcast. Our relationships really are everything. And maybe you're feeling some particular joys and stresses related to your relationships this December. Well, you're about to hear Greg Meyer share some food for thought for those relationships in this episode of All I Want for Christmas. Enjoy.
Hey, good morning, Fabric. We have been talking these last couple weeks about what we really want for Christmas, okay? And a couple weeks ago, Melissa was talking about some of those real human, physical, tangible needs that we have. And yes, it is okay to have them. We're real flesh and blood human beings, and those real things in life, those tangible things, can actually make a difference, you know? So we don't need to not want them or not have them. And she started our Advent wreath that week with this place setting, which reminds us that it's important to feed ourselves, right? And you feed yourself with real stuff. So that was a good thing. Good thing for us to remember. The next week, last week, Chris Lahai was speaking, and he was talking about some of those really big, huge, global societal things that weigh on us all, the things that, you know, take a toll on the lives of millions on our world every day. And, you know, how can we do anything about those? I mean, you probably asked for world peace last year and you didn't get it. You know, what's the chance you're going to get it this year? So what are we going to do? And, you know, while we can't necessarily make all these things go away, one of the things we can do is we can be together with it, right? I mean, we can combine our energy, can celebrate, which is what he wanted to talk about. We can celebrate what we can do, but we can also then comfort each other. We can grieve with each other in what we can't do. And he gave us an invitation here with a picture of the planet on it to remind us that we can celebrate what we can do, and we can, comfort each other what we can't do. You know, we can't make these things go away. We can ask God, you probably ask God to take these things away, and God clearly isn't quite going to do that. After all, the message of Christmas is what? Emmanuel, God with us, not God will do everything for you, right? So we have that invitation to be that way. So it's important stuff. So what else do you really want? Probably lots of things, right? But what is it that you really want? Now, I'd be willing to guess that there's something that everybody in this room really wants, right?
Money.
Money, yes. And that was week one. Okay, that was week one.
Love.
Okay, so we're getting closer here. There's one thing I think really, now, and I don't know all of you that well, so I can't exactly say how this shows up in your life, but seeing as though you're human beings and looking around the room, that's largely true. I would be willing to bet that there's something that we all really want. There's this gnawing, there's this desire, there's this feeling within us of some dis-ease and some uncomfortableness and some tension, and it has to do with the people in your life. Yeah, it's, you know, at home or at work or at school. Somewhere there's some unsettled stuff there. Something is off. Something is broken, not headed the right way. You can ignore it. Maybe you have been. But it probably doesn't mean it goes away when you do that. No, maybe things aren't headed in the right way with those relationships. But hey, we know how momentum works, right? Unless you do something to change the direction of it, chances of it coming all back together the way you like it aren't really great. So, you know, that's probably not what's going to happen either. So one of the things about Christmas is that you can do all the technical stuff. I mean, you can get the decorations right, you can get the food right, you can get the parties right, you can get the presents right. But those relationships, they're still gnawing away at you. They're going to make Christmas anything but, you know, all is calm, all is bright, right? You know, so that's still going to be there. So for Christmas, why not just go fix all those relationships, right? You go do that and you tell me how it works, right? Because fixing relationships is like fixing the fact that your car just ran out of gas by tinkering with the fuel gauge. I mean, you can fool yourself, but it's not going to actually work, right? So for Christmas, you know, what can we do? I mean, wouldn't it be amazing if you could take those perennially hurting spots in your life and turn them into spotlights of joy instead? And I think while you're not going to magically do that on the 24th, 25th of December, I think we can do some things to start getting those gifts underneath the tree. And so a couple of things to know. And you can find this on your Sunday paper if you flip over to the back side. And the first thing that you need to know if you're concerned about this, and you hear me say this a lot, everything is about relationships. Everything, no exclusions. You can try to work around them, you can try to ignore them, you can keep moving on to new ones. When one goes sour, it doesn't matter. Sooner or later, you're going to realize that there is no avoiding them. Everything is about relationships. I would venture to say that the greatest discontents in our lives and the greatest points of happiness in our lives, if you follow them far enough, they trace back to relationships. No avoiding them. So, while everything is about relationships, the other thing to know isn't such good news, and that is that relationships are hard. They require work, constant work. I mean, they just don't stay the way you left them either. There's something about them that, you know, when you don't tend to the relationship, it doesn't just stay the way it was yesterday, it actually deteriorates a little bit. You know, there's no such thing as status quo in relationships. Now, fortunately, there's a third thing to know about relationships, and that is relationships are wonderful. And I'll go out on the limb and I'll claim that there is nothing that can hurt you as much as another person can hurt you. But I also go on the limb and say there's also nothing that can give you as much joy as the love of another person. So, something to be holding on to. So let's not just sit there, you know, stuck with all of these relationships not the way we want them. Let's do something about them. And let's work on getting love and relationships, you know, underneath the tree. Or maybe more around the tree, which is the symbol that we got this week for this third candle. We've got these family, friends, strangers that don't know each other yet. Arm in arm in a circle. If you count, there's seven of them, which is an auspicious number. We'll hear about again today. Not a bad vision for maybe where we want to go with those relationships, okay? So, now, the question is how? How are you going to do this? And so there's a couple things to realize. And I'm going to just cut straight to the chase here. The first is, you can't change other people, right? You can't change other people. You don't have that power, right? But you can influence them. And you influence them by hounding them. Nagging. By changing yourself. You influence other people by changing yourself. Your leverage isn't in them, it's in you. Whether you like to admit it or not, you are part of the problem. You are part of the dynamics of what has kept the relationship in the place that has gotten to where it is and keeps it where it is right now. Now, you might say, well, it's more the other person's fault than mine, and that could be perfectly true. It might be someone else's fault. I'm going to tell you, it really doesn't matter whose fault it is. If you're trying to find, like, who's right in this or not, if that's what the important question is, then maybe that's it. But if you actually want to solve the relationship, the fault issue isn't the issue here. See, it's really a wrong road to follow. The question is not, whose fault is it? The question is, what are you going to do about it? Or actually, the way I would like to word that question is, who will you choose to be in that relationship? Who will you choose to be in that relationship? Let me give you a couple examples. So you've got a kid for whom school isn't going so great, and that's become a huge, you know, stop in your conversations and your ability to be together with your child, and you notice that every time the conversation of grades or the subject of grades comes up, you bristle and your child senses it. And that bristling that you do cuts off any understanding, any affirmation you might try to verbally say because the message is already across. Or maybe you haven't criticized that person at work that you have all these problems with, but have you complimented them? Have you ever had fun with them that had nothing to do with work? Or do you find that you are instinctively defensive around certain exchanges that happen at work or at home or maybe with your sister who lives far away in another city? Now, the list can go on, and I'm sure you can make your own list, and I'm sure you don't want to make your own list because it hurts to look in those places and to find those things, to realize and see those things about ourselves. But maybe you should, because Figuring out whose fault each of these is isn't going to solve the problems. What can help is experimenting with what you can do to disrupt the cycle. You know, if those gifts of joy-filled, not thorn-encrusted relationships are going to show up for you underneath the tree, you need to name them, and you need to start being honest about it and make a Christmas present list for yourself to give, okay? So I want to talk about 5 presents that you can give this year to make that happen, okay? Number one, Christmas present. Name who those people are. The people we have that tension with, the unresolved conflict, you know what it is, right? Stuff that makes you feel that way inside, right? Name those people. And what could change in you? What could change in you to make this different? Now, you've got sticky notes stuck to your Sunday paper. So pick one out, put a big number one on it, right? And write the names of a couple of people that come to mind for whom this relationship sort of thing is, you know, comes to mind for you. Who are those people there? Name them. And then, on this note, start like making some ideas. What could be different in you? What change could you begin? Who do you need to be? After all, opening the gift of a new relationship doesn't just mean the other person is going to become new. It means something's going to be new about you. Now, I got to be really, really clear about this. When I'm talking about changing who you are, I don't mean changing who you really are in order to accommodate another person. That would not be a healthy thing to do. What I mean is when we get in these relationships, we tend to not be our true self, right? So what is it about your true self that you haven't joined? How can you express that real self, the person you really want to be for that person? How can you be that person for them? What can you change in order to be the person that you really intend to be? That helps you be proactive about who you want to be, not reactive and being the person you don't want to be. Okay? Now, this second half of this present that you're going to give is the hard part, you know, and I'm sorry about that, but it is. And there's a reason why it's harder. I mean, I know it's not so hard to name the people you're having problems with, and it's not too hard to name what you would like to be different about them. I mean, that comes to me pretty natural. And maybe that's all you can come up with right now. That's good. Take notes on that. That'll be insights for you in the future, all right? But when you start discovering what you could do in order to bump that relationship, that's when you start moving that relationship from just being on your list to actually maybe getting under the tree. After all, you know, love doesn't just say what you feel. Love actually is who you will be for that other person, right? I remember an interchange between Jesus and Peter in the Bible at one time. You maybe don't know the story, but Jesus just kind of randomly comes up to Peter and asks him out of the blue, "Do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yeah, I love you." And Jesus says, "Feed my lambs." So Peter accepts that. And then Jesus just asks him again, "So do you love me?" Peter, "Yeah, I love you." So he says, "Care for my sheep." Okay, take care of the people that I love, all right? And then he turns to him again, he says, "Peter, do you love me?" I'm sure Peter's exasperated by this time. And he says, like, "Jesus, you know me. You know all about me. You know that I love you." And Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." What's going on here except some like absurd repetition? I mean, isn't Jesus trying to drive home the point that loving me isn't just saying that, just feeling the emotion, but being about what I love? Isn't that what we're, you know, called to do as well? So I think that is what's going on here. Name the person you want to heal that relationship and name what you can do to help that happen, okay? That's number one. Now, a second present that you can give is this, is to forgive them for all the ways they've offended you. But the second half of this is really key. You do it for yourself. Do that for yourself. Now, this is a complicated one that we could spend all day on, but let me just say this. You need to forgive the people whom have hurt, wronged, forgotten, grown away from you. And why? Not because that's what good people do, not because that's what you're supposed to do, but so that you can be free. Forgiveness is a gift. We give it primarily to free ourselves from carrying the burden of whatever offense we have experienced. Forgiveness does not mean forgetting. Forgiveness does not mean letting the person off the hook. Forgiveness does not mean that everything is okay now. It means that you have let go of something that wants to control you. And hurt does that. Hurt likes to get inside and start calling the shots and defining what your relationship is going to be all about. And forgiving another person is something you can do first to release yourself from its control. It can also be something that you give to another person if they are ready for it, if they are seeking it. But primarily, it is something that you can give yourself. And that's an important thing to remember. Now, so pull out another sticky note, okay? Write number 2 on it. Put a big F for forgiveness or something on it, because there's no way you're going to have time to do all this right now. So this is a project, an ongoing project for you. But who are the people whom you need to forgive because of the anger, the hurt, the bitterness that has created something just too big inside of you? Write their names, and can you identify what it is that you need to forgive? As long as it's up there amorphously and you can't name it, you're going to have a hard time letting go of it. So Jesus had another conversation with that same Peter, and Peter comes up to him, something obviously had happened to him, comes up to Jesus and says, if one of my sisters or brothers sins against me, wrongs me, hurts me, does something to offend me, how many times should I forgive them? Should I forgive them as many as 7 times? Remember, 7, right? It means like a lot. It's not a literal number. Jesus, no, that would be ridiculous. You should do it 70 times 7. In other words, a lot times a lot more. Why? Why so many times? To be a floor mat to somebody else? No, it's because if you want to be the person who's going to do what you're called to do in this world, you're not going to do it if you're carrying around all this baggage, all that anger, all that hurt, all that resentment in you. You're going to have to let that go in order to be the person you need to be the person that Jesus needs you to be. He needed to be free of that stuff. You need to be free of that stuff. I need to be free of that stuff. So that's a big one. Forgive and do it for your sake. Third present to give this Christmas. Resolve to, this is a fun one, think the best of those people. Think the best of them. Now, if you're like me, and I'm sure you aren't, I'm probably the only one who does this, but my imagination, when I've got someone in my life that I've got this tension with, my imagination puts all these thoughts and all these words in their mouths and puts motives behind all the things they do, you know? And 2 things I find is that, one, those don't tend to be terribly generous towards the other person, nor accurate, and to be frank, they're not very helpful, right? In fact, they are part of what perpetuates the gap between me and that other person. So if you think about it, like, how is someone going to live down something that only occurred in my imagination, right? I'm not even giving them a chance. So sometimes my imaginations are accurate, but like fault finding, suspecting the worst just corrupts the way I relate to another person. It doesn't help it. It gets in between us and it just feeds on itself. So take another sticky note, right? Put a number 3 on it, right? Think the best or just best or something on there to be your clue for you. And what is it that what is the best that you could think about those people that you are going through your mind right now? What's another thought you could have, a best thought that isn't so suspicious about them? Now, a clue, it may be hard for you to believe this thought. You might be feeling like very disingenuous in writing it on here. That's okay. Put it on there. Live with it a little while and see what happens. And why would we do this? What if I give that other person the benefit of the doubt? What if I expect the best from them rather than the worst from them? We have a tendency to live up to what is expected of us, right? And we also have a tendency to see what we expect, right? So let's give those other people a chance. Let's expect good. These words come to mind to me. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So, no suspicion, no scorekeeping, shucks, no Schadenfreude, right? Think the best and expect the people in your life to live up to it and learn how to see the best in them. Now, of course, sometimes they aren't going to live up to that. In fact, there are times for many, many reasons that other person will not only disappoint you in your expectations, but they actually may try to hurt you. Welcome to real life. I mean, that's what human beings are like, and that happens sometimes. So that's where this next gift comes in. And that is, this fourth gift is check your boundaries. Right? You're right. Your boundaries can actually be a gift to another person. And we miss that a lot of times. Now, just because you're taking responsibility for your side of the relationship doesn't mean that the other person is going to take responsibility for them. Boundaries keep you safe, in most cases, without having to withdraw to exit from the relationship, right? Which is really important. Boundaries keep you safe, and that's important. Without boundaries, the choice in a lot of our unhealthy relationship situations is either to leave yourself open to hurt and abuse, or to leave so that there's no opportunity for healing in the relationship. So there has to be a better way to do this. There has to be another option. And boundaries are the key to it. Boundaries are important. In difficult situations, they provide both a safe arena, they provide a safe arena for you to make the next steps that you are wanting to take. And we need that opportunity to do that. So pick out another sticky note, number four, write boundaries on it, okay? What are boundaries that you could create that could support a troubled relationship, if that's what is needed there? Maybe it's to limit the time with them. Maybe it's to always meet with them with a third person. Maybe it's to not have direct contact or no surprise encounters with that person. Maybe it's like how much financially you are willing to support them, or you think it's healthy to support them, or how much caretaking of them that you feel like you are willing to do, because this is, you know, that's their responsibility now. So that can be a big one. I kind of think maybe that's what Jesus had in mind when he told his followers this. He said, I am sending you out like sheep amidst wolves. Now, sheep amidst wolves is first century Jewish for Thanksgiving dinner with extended family and the conversation was politics. All right? So I am sending you out like sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Remember, love is unconditional. Forgiveness is freely given in order for you. But trust is earned. You can create safe spaces. That's being wise as a serpent. And you can then allow the other person to have opportunities to earn your trust back. That's being innocent as a dove. So check your boundaries. Be careful, but also be brave. Boundaries allow you to both be careful and brave at the same time. Fifth Christmas present. I'm sure there's a lot more. These are the five I want to talk about. Dare to go first. Dare to go first. Second half, but be patient. But be patient. Now, since we're talking about what you can do, right, you are the only person under your own direct control, it'd be kind of silly for you to wait for the other person in your relationship problem to go first, right? Or even to wait for that perfect time when both you know that both of you are ready to do the make the same move at the same time, right? It just doesn't have that. This doesn't happen that way. If you care about that relationship, if you want something to be different, take the initiative. Go first. Make the first step. And don't worry about whether the other person will reciprocate or not. Which leads to the second half of it, be patient. Very patient. In my notes, there are five R's in the word very. Very patient. Think about it. It took a long time for you guys to get where you are right now. You've been practicing a long time. What makes you think that also you can just fix it like that? I mean, my experience is it takes us a lot longer to heal than to hurt. That's just plain true. And you know, just because you have decided to make this change, what makes you think the other person is ready to do it as well? I mean, they may have to even notice that you're doing anything different. Then they're going to probably wonder about it. And then they've got to, like, you've got to earn your trust back from them. You know, they got to decide, well, it's not just a one-time thing. All of a sudden you're being nice or something. And this, or you're not doing it for some devious, you know, other purposes. So they've got to learn to trust it. Then they have to start making those first little baby steps themselves as well. I mean, this is going to take time. So, you know, your last sticky, put a number 5 on it and write go first. Imagine in your mind's eye one of the people from that, you know, from these other sticky notes of yours, and then what step can you take, all right? In that first one, you sort of named what you could change, but this is like, so what are you going to do to show that change? And just as important, what are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? Give yourself that goal. Mark that down for yourself so you, you know, this isn't just wishful thinking or good intentions, but actually something about who you are and what you're going to be. Okay? Now, when you're doing this, I think it's also good to remember to prepare yourself for the fact that this probably isn't going to fix right away, right? So you feel like you're working really hard and the other person isn't responding, right? So that's the important thing to remember. And, you know, that word that gets thrown around here with Fabric quite a bit, yet, is a good one to remember. That the other person hasn't reciprocated yet. Yeah. So, you know, are you dedicated to this? Is this something you're really going to keep going for or not? I'm pretty sure this is what Jesus was talking about when he said, you have heard it said you should love your neighbor but hate your enemies. Well, I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. He did not say love your enemies when they become your friends and pray for your persecutors when they stop persecuting you. No. Love your enemies, forgive your enemies, love your enemies, go first with your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. So don't wait. Go first. If you bother to wait for the other person to change, you're going to be waiting for a long time. So do it as a right, do what is right, and not because you think the other person deserves it, right? Just do what you believe is right and be patient. Now, that's all pretty nice. I hope we could do all that stuff. It'd be fantastic, but there's something missing there, it seems, you know? Because here you come, you know, you're looking for what you really want for Christmas. And all I did was talk about 5 things that you're supposed to give other people. That doesn't really seem fair. I mean, what about you? Okay, I know we're all in this in the long game, right? So we're going to do the right thing. We're going to do the right thing, give other people the right gifts so that gradually that comes back to us. Yeah, that's true. I really believe that, and I think that's really true here. But still, I think there's something missing. And Jesus was pointing us to it when Jesus gave us that number one, that ultimate relationship lesson that we find in the Bible. And when he's asked, like, of all the things, Jesus, what is the most important thing that we should remember? You hear this up here a lot. And Jesus says, you should love Yahweh, love that which is, love your God with what? All your heart, all your soul, with all your mind, right? In other words, I want you to weave yourself with all things, and I want you to do it with full integrity, your whole self, okay? And then he says, and then there's another thing too, and it's really just like it. Jesus says, you should also love your neighbor. That's what we've been talking about, right? Loving your neighbor. How? As you love. Yeah, you're kind of timid there. As you love what?
Yourself.
Right. Okay, as you love yourself. I mean, that's just absolutely key here. All that stuff that you are hoping to give to others because they need it, guess what? You need it too. You need it too. In fact, one of the truths that Jesus was pointing at in this ultimate relationship lesson is that your ability, how much you are able to love yourself, is always going to be a limiting factor in how much you are able to love other people as well. So let's look at these 5 gifts again and reopen each one of them, right? First of all, name yourself as someone for you to love, right? And decide how you're going to do it. Add some stuff to that sticky note for yourself. You know, you can't love yourself too much. You can overindulge yourself. You can overestimate yourself. You can try to make yourself the center of the world. Those aren't really good things. But the chances are you do that because somewhere deep down you don't love yourself enough, not because you do love yourself too much, right? I don't think you can love yourself too much. Second gift, forgive yourself. Yeah, you've made mistakes. You've made some pretty big mistakes, and you're going to make some more. Welcome to humanity. We all do that. But what better way to, you know, get what you want than to start letting go of some of the burdens you're carrying? I mean, if you are going to be that person that you want to be with other people, do you think you can do that better by carrying the burden of all the anger, all the hurt, all the resentment that you have, carrying all the responsibility for the wrongs that you've committed? Or are you going to do it because you feel the freedom of being the person that you can be? And that's going to like lift you up like wind under your wings, right? So reopen that gift to make sure you give it to yourself as well. Then the third, resolve to believe the best about yourself. Yeah, you don't always deserve it. Sometimes you're aggrandizing yourself. That's true for all of us. None of us are perfect. But what better way to be who you want to be than to keep saying the best about yourself and believing it? Give yourself something to aim at and walk towards it. Make sure that gift is for you as well. And those boundaries we talked about in this gift, just putting those boundaries between you and other people is kind of a gift you give yourself. But what about boundaries protecting you from yourself? I mean, how often do you fail to put boundaries around yourself so you know how much time you're willing to commit to other people and to other things? I mean, do you have boundaries protecting your heart's desire, protecting the things that bring joy and that make you healthy? If what is requested of us is to love with our whole heart, our whole self, our whole mind, but we haven't protected it enough that we've developed it, that we've kept it healthy, what kind of a gift is it to give to other people? Make sure that we're doing that same thing for ourselves, setting those boundaries for ourselves. And this last one, while you resolve to go first and be in bringing the change to other people, go first for yourself as well. Get the support you need so that you have the strength, so you have the support, so that you have the perspective to do all that stuff that we've been talking about. Who has your back? Who loves you so that you can love you, and then you can love others? Find that person in your life, identify that person in your life, in whom, in their presence, you always feel like you can be your most authentic self, and it just comes naturally. You can just be you. Spending time with that person is not self-indulgence. No, that's self-refueling. It's remembering who you really are. It's being part of the world that you want to be so that you can bring that to other people. Be reminded of that. So let's just close with that. Short reflection, a little time of prayer. When I do this, I like to get comfortable, right? So maybe put your pens down if you're holding it or your phone or whatever. Just put it down. Put your feet flat on the floor. Shake your shoulders out. And open your eyes, close your eyes. I don't know. Whatever feels right for you. And I want you to imagine the faces in your mind's eye of those people that we've been talking about today, right? Imagine that. And may our prayer be that this Christmas be a time to reconnect all that is apart. You and your own spirit, you and the spirit, you and me, you and your family, your friends, you and your fathers and mothers, brothers and sisters, aunties and uncles that are all around the world that you haven't met yet. That this be a time when light and life and love are born in each of us and begin to show up and grow underneath that Christmas tree. One more breath. Wow. Thank you. That was a lot. And may you all get what your heart really wants for Christmas. May it be so.
Thanks for listening. We hope this podcast sparks conversation in other parts of your life. If you're looking for meaningful connections, there's a Fabric group for you to try, whether you're in the Twin Cities or not. Tag @FabricMPLS with your wonderings on social media and find resources on our website, fabricmpls.com.